Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ, 7 o'clock hour here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton Russell alongside Caitlin in the back. And Sean will be back tomorrow, we think, from his little sickness. I'm pretty positive. I'm like 99% sure, 99.9, that he'll be back tomorrow. Right before the Cowboys weekend as we get set for a Cowboys-Eagles this weekend. So
he'll be back tomorrow. You can hear right here on 105 through the Fan,
yes,
Chop.
Yes, it is. So baseball's postseason has gotten underway. We've already had, you know, the Angels make a move yesterday.
Offseason, not postseason. The postseason.
What did I say? Well, postseason.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
All
see
right,
what
right,
I mean?
Right, I got
postseason. Yeah, offseason is underway. There is one guy that has been talked about being dealt, and it was talked about being dealt in the offseason. I think this is I would love to see them make this move. I don't think they will. I don't think they will. In fact, I'm pretty sure they won't. But Chicago's going to trade Garrett Crochet.
Mm.
And Red Sox are, you know, looking at him. There's one other team. And he's got two more years of arbitration left. And they're saying, you know, some of those projections upwards of $15 million on average over the two. And he is a really solid pitcher, and he's willing to sign an extension. So I'm just thinking here, because they have a decision to make on Eovaldi, and I'm all in on bringing Nathan Eovaldi back. You'll probably get him for, some of the projections I saw were 22 to 25 a year over 2 years. I'm totally fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say that he can get more and the Rangers can't go further than that, then finding a way to get Garrett, I think, is a real option there. And just picture, right, Bobby, DeGrom, what do you get from Rocker?
Man, Rocker flashed a lot. Obviously, he's still coming along, but he flashed a lot. We'll talk to Derek Holland at 8 o'clock this morning, and Derek's got some thoughts on Rocker and has trained with him before, and he thinks he's going to be a super stud.
I mean, there are people that would put, you know, Crochet near the front of their rotation, and I mean, the guy's an all-star. But if you've got, like, you already have DeGrom, whatever he gives you, you're getting older, you need to get some youth, and you don't know what the future's going to look like for Rocker and Leiter, but you throw Garrett in there, and all of a sudden, I mean, those are some young pitchers, man.
Were you concerned at all about the load management he went through in the second half of the season? From July on, he made 14 starts. He didn't go more than four innings in any of them.
I'm not concerned.
But now, the question is, was that Chicago doing something to, all right, well, let's protect an asset here?
I think it's so toxic there. They have no idea what they're doing.
Because he wasn't a bit of a unique position in terms of it was a bullpen to rotation shift for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we've seen teams, load management rules in baseball. I can't remember. When was the last time you felt like they worked on a young pitcher? Because I feel like a lot of people think they contributed
to. They
didn't
work on Strasburg, I don't believe.
They didn't work on Matt Harvey. They didn't work on Jabba Chamberlain.
Nope. They don't work.
I mean, I generally am opposed to that. Now, before that, he was really, really impressive in terms of the first however many starts of the year was it? Was it 18? So out of his first 18 starts, Chop, he went into the sixth inning all but like five times.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to all of a sudden just go four innings max, and Chicago said publicly they were going to manage his workload. But the question was, okay, is that because they needed to with the bullpen transition, or was this, let's protect an asset, let's not run him down while we're trying to move something?
Yeah, and the one thing I love about this, about potentially going after him, is what do you think they're looking for in return?
No clue with Chicago. I mean,
if you're going to trade a left-handed starting pitcher, which, by the way, this team needs a left-handed starting pitcher.
Yeah, right? You're going to want top-tier return, I would assume.
But you're going to want pitching, right? If you're going to trade, the White Sox are looking for position players.
Why?
I don't know. But according to the reports, there's a ton of interest in him from other clubs, but the White, according to 670 The Score, the Whiteside, Bruce Levine, which is MLB's reporter, they are seeking position players in return.
If they're trying to rebuild, though, obviously that's their biggest trade piece. You have no hesitation about, they said, July on, we're managing his innings in this transition, and also the first year coming off of Tommy John. Like, there's no concern for you about why aren't they eager to say, well, this is one of the people we build around?
Because they're too, they need too much, I think. This is how you get better. You get better by finding, when you're far away, and they're 5 years away from doing anything. And he was a pitcher that went to college, so he'll be on his way down by
then. What college did he go to? I'm just curious, by the way.
I have no idea. Oh, no, he went to Tennessee, yeah.
Oh, just a coincidence. That's the guy you want, the University of Tennessee Volunteer.
I honestly, I don't care about Tennessee baseball.
Why?
I don't know.
You love all the other aspects of it.
I like it. I watch it, but
just the least important.
I don't remember any of the players.
Oh, defending champs though, right? They won it this.
They are. They are. Yeah. I just don't remember any of the players' names. Right. It's college baseball. I don't really follow it. I follow it when it matters. Until then, I don't really. I follow it on Instagram as much as I possibly can. That's it. But this, you need a lefty in your rotation, and they're not asking for pitching in return. That seems pretty good to me.
What if I've got another lefty for you?
I think it's a major part that they need right now.
Which is not, it's not I've got another lefty for you. It's our buddy Dave Schoenfield from ESPN. He had an article up of the best fits for the 2024, the top 25 free agents, the best fits of player to team. And the Rangers were one of these fits, Chop, and it is a left-handed pitcher.
Okay, I'm in.
Max Fried.
I'm in.
Are you in on Max Fried?
Well, he's getting up there.
He is. He will be 31. When does he turn 31? He'll be 31 in January. So you're going to have questions there. He's going to cost you money. This is the write-up on Fried here. By the way, 2024, he went 11-10, 3.25 ERA, 166 strikeouts in 174 innings. 3.5 was his WAR, his wins above replacement, which is an efficiency stat. This is the write-up from Schoenfield. Fried has been one of the few players the Atlanta Braves weren't able to lock up before he hits the market, and unlike Pete Alonso and the Mets, there's a much greater certainty he signs elsewhere. The Braves don't like to pay market rates for star free agents. They let Freddie Freeman go to the Dodgers, and they'll count on Spencer Strider coming back to keep their rotation strong. The Rangers might not be the obvious destination, but Max Scherzer, Nathan Eovaldi, and Andrew Heaney are free agents, assuming Eovaldi opts out of his $20 million option. That's happened already. John Gray is under contract for one more year, and Jacob deGrom and Tyler Mahle are health risks. Prospects Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter are possible rotation options, but given the age of some of the key offensive players like Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, and Adolis Garcia, the Rangers should be all in.
Yeah,
to win now before their stars get older.
I don't have a hesitation with him at all. I think the Rangers don't want, he only has 1 year of team control left before his deal, right? So he would have this year as his final arbitration season. And Jim Bowden says he's going to get about $175 million. Mm. The difference between him and Garrett Crochet is that he's got 2 years team control. So maybe it buys the Rangers time. I'm looking to buy time till they get the TV deal figured out, because I think the reality is right now they don't want to spend money this offseason.
He's had injuries start to pile up on him, though.
Well, he only made about half the starts not this year, but in 2023.
Yeah, he's dealt with a forearm strain. He's dealt with multiple hamstring strains. He's had lower back issues. He's had a hand injury. Like, there's a list of injuries that he's sustained just about every year from 2020. Now, he was healthy for the most part last year, but he's had a lot of soft tissue stuff, a lot of strains, and he's going to be 31.
Yeah, soft tissue doesn't bother me as much, right, as the structural aspect of an elbow.
Yeah, obviously.
Right, obviously, but I mean, it's still concerning because those are the nicks. The nicks that you get where you get nicked up and now you skip a start here. You skip a start there.
Right.
It's mid-June and all of a sudden it's like, we're going to shut him down for 10 days. And, you know, it's like, all right, those get annoying and they really kind of hamper. It makes it tough for you to go on a run.
Over on the website MLB Trade Rumors, they've got the top 35 trade candidates this offseason. Number one was Garrett Crochet, who you just mentioned there. And Texas, this wasn't pairings. This was just more guys who would make sense to get dealt this offseason. Some of the other names that are on here, Ryan Helsley from the Cardinals is number two. They've also got Devin Williams from the Brewers high on this list.
I'll tell you, there's another one on this list. I thought that, it was also with the White Sox last year, Fetty. I liked Eric Fetty last year. I thought he was a really good player. We'll see. I mean, didn't he go to like Japan or Korea and like kind of figure things out and come back? I think that was him.
Yeah, he was one of the, I think he was one of those guys who went away and developed, like worked on his mechanics and a couple different pitches and that kind of flipped things over. Yeah, he went to the KBO and he won the equivalent of the Cy Young Award there. But if you look at their top trade candidates, two Rangers do make this list. Number 23, Leody Taveras. Says the Rangers offense disappeared in 2024 with nearly every regular taking a step back at the plate. Texas is going to be looking for ways to turn things around, and they've now given Taveras more than 1,700 plate appearances in the majors to show he can provide at least average offense. He hasn't done so in any season but 2023, and it's now fair to question whether that season was an outlier. And here's the thing about Taveras. He's still young.
He is, but man, he can't hit right now.
That's the frustration. You see it in flashes with him, and it's so frustrating. And I hate the idea of, maybe I've become a little gun shy because of recent deals where they've made, where, you know, Cole Reagans, for instance, where it feels like, man, we gave it every opportunity, and then he leaves and he immediately becomes a stud. And I would be worried about that with Taveras. But I understand why you would reach a point where you'd say, look, we've got Carter, we've got Langford here, we got to figure out other things, you know, in the outfield. Taveras maybe gets squeezed a little bit. Number 24 on this list, back-to-back, Nathaniel Lowe, Peyton's favorite player.
I like Nate Lowe. I like Nate.
Yeah. It says, unlike many of his teammates, Lowe did not take a step back at the plate from 23 to 24. I think he did a little, actually. His batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, walk rate, and strikeout rate from 24 are all close to his 23 campaign. Both years pale in comparison to his brilliant 22 season, however, and Lowe's price tag is mounting at a time when the Rangers have a crowded payroll, a need for starting pitching, and multiple prospects who could plausibly slide in at first base. Justin Foscue, Dustin Harris. This is a guy who was mentioned at the deadline as if the Rangers decided to purge sell.
Yeah,
he would be one of the first names to go. This feels inevitable that at some point, whether this offseason or deadline, Lowe will get moved.
I really like him, but he is the exact type of guy in order to maintain a really good team, you've got to be willing to walk away from, because you could find somebody to replace him. He's a really, really good player. I really like him, but you can't be scared of losing him.
No.
And
they don't seem to be.
You can upgrade the position. He's good, but you do look for more power out of that position. You do look for, even though he's got it, he's got power. Does he have like true pop at that spot, right? That's just, again, he's good, but you've got to be able to be willing to walk away from him. So I'd be okay with that. And those are the two guys?
Yeah, those are the two that made the list for the Rangers, which makes sense why those two would be guys that potentially need to be dealt in terms of while the Rangers look at where their finances are, what they can afford to pay, where they need to get cheaper and better. I mean, honestly, Nate Lowe has got, what, one arbitration year left?
I think.
And then Taveras just, it has not been there consistently for him.
And please, I'm begging you, Scott Boras, don't make the sport wait 3 months to start signing guys again this offseason.
Yeah, you don't want Jordan Montgomery losing his mind.
My gosh, that was awful last year. Let's get the ball rolling. Can we get some guys signed before Thanksgiving? Some big time names signed before Thanksgiving instead of waiting until mid-February? Jeez. All right, Sean and RJ here on 105 to the Fan. I'm RJ Chobby. He's Bobby Belt. There's Peyton and Caitlin alongside. Again, Neighborhood Watch coming up next during the commercial free expressway, and the guy who called out Dak Prescott speaks. It's Sean and RJ on The Fan. Let's Neighborhood Watch coming up in about 20 minutes. We got a couple of media watchdog stories we're going to share here on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy, Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Caitlin alongside. Sean is back tomorrow. We will hear from Babe Loffenberg coming up at 8:40. But you want to do DFW on DFW crime, or do you want to do a NFL player on NFL player?
Oh, let's crime. Do NFL player on NFL player, specifically former McCarthy player on current McCarthy player crime.
Okay. So this is James Jones, Bobby, on the show called The Facility.
It's one of the random shows, Acho. I don't know if they keep changing the name of it, or they have him do 8 different shows.
Shady's on this one. Chase Daniels on this one.
So I don't know. Is this Speak? Is this what was once Speak? And now maybe. It's called? I have no idea. I can't keep up with it. It's on a channel I don't watch. I don't watch Fox Sports.
I don't generally watch FS1 now.
So I had to see this through social media like everybody else. But we got the news yesterday. We talked about it at 6 o'clock. It's an avulsion tear for Dak Prescott, which means the tendon has partially come off of the bone, and that's why the hamstring injury is so severe.
Sounds phenomenal.
So, yeah.
Sounds like great news there.
This is brutal. So they were kicking this around on their set the other day. James Jones, Emmanuel Acho, Shady McCoy, and Chase Daniel. And James Jones took what became a very controversial angle on this Dak Prescott story with the hamstring, which is... And Peyton's got the clip here. The Dak Prescott, boy, what a quitter.
Dak quitting.
Hold on, James.
Whoa. Say it with your chest.
I need some proof. Evidence.
Like tapped out?
Like
when you know, choke hold, and they said,
if you just said Dak quit.
And it's crazy because, like.
I've been there, though.
It ain't even, like, funny, though. Like, my man quitting on these dudes. I've had a hamstring plenty of times. And I'm back the next week. I'm not Tyreek Hill. It don't take no 4 weeks for you to heal from no hamstring. You're not Lamar Jackson. You're not Jalen Hurts. You're not running. Where are you running to? You're not running. 4 weeks. Basically put me on ice for 4 weeks, right? No fight, no nothing. Hey, man, I'll be back in 2 weeks. I'll be back in a week. This is a hamstring for a quarterback that's not explosive at the quarterback spot. They tried to hold me out. I said, who I'm running away from? I've been 4'5", 4'6". I'm going to stay 4'5", 4'6", with a bad hammy. So I'm going out here playing. Dak Prescott, with the way the season is going right now, we heard him on the sideline, what he said. Dak is quitting on these boys.
That's, as an athlete, he knows, James Jones does, that's high up on the list of
accusations
that you can't throw another athlete. So he's doing this full well knowing how the gravity of this, to the point that Acho, Mr. Clickbait, is going, hold on, slow down a little. And of course, Shady's sitting there going like, give me some more, James. Keep it going. Because that's Shady.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you can say a team quit on a coach, but it's a very broad statement.
It's a statement of effort and it's stuff that you can see on the field. Are you actually finishing plays?
Right. Yeah. But also, it's like you're not pinpointing any one person.
Yeah.
There's a softened blow to saying, hey, this team just quit. You don't love to say it, but it happens, right? When you individualize it like this, and it's coming from a former player, and you're talking about a guy who you're basically saying, he's not tough. There are some guys who can't play injured. They just don't perform well injured. I don't consider them quitters necessarily. They just don't play well injured. Jake DeGrom doesn't play injured. He just doesn't pitch injured. He just doesn't do it. Some guys will go out there and say, I'll figure it out. He just doesn't. That's the way it is. You got to deal with it. You just have to deal with it. But to say that Dak, who I've never heard any hint that he is soft from a physical standpoint.
He broke his ankle and he tried a reduction on the field. Like, is it popped out? Can I just pop this back into place? And tried to snap it back in on the turf.
By the way, when you do that, when I did my finger, there was no better feeling than popping that thing back in. It was like the best crack I've ever had.
I don't think Dak's probably felt great.
No, Dak's poking through the skin, right?
But yeah, and so he's trying to pop the thing back into place. And you thought that was the guy. A guy who a 9-year veteran. Post-game, Dak is telling you 9 years worth of injuries. It's something I've never felt before. A guy who played in college, high school, everything else. It's an injury I've never felt before. That should carry weight, I would think, to another athlete. Just like, let's maybe give him the benefit of the doubt. This maybe felt worse. He asked, can I make it worse? They knew all these things. When they took the air, and James Jones said this, that he had asked, can I make it worse? Because I want to go back out there. And they were like, nope, can't protect yourself. Don't do it. And so he was trying to get back out there and was told by the medical staff, no. And they know this. And James Jones even allowed for the possibility. He didn't say it was the case. He was acting more just like scoffing at the idea of like, well, we would have heard, wouldn't we? He actually allowed for this possibility of an avulsion.
Is it off the bone or something? Because there's no way you're telling me that you're out 4 weeks with no answers, no nothing, no fight, no nothing for a hamstring. And you're a quarterback. There ain't no way. Drop back, get the ball out. Your hamstring don't got to be 100% at the quarterback spot. Dak Prescott is quitting on these boys, man. If I was on Dak's team and I seen him in the locker room, I would walk by him in the train.
Yeah, right. You're right. No, you're right. You're right.
Good to see you, dog. And keep pushing.
Good morning.
I know.
Like that.
Yeah. We know. We've been in the facility. We know when dudes is hurt and really can't go, and we know when dudes is messing around.
So now he's saying Dak is just exaggerating an injury, and you got Shady there with the little hallelujah chorus. You're right. You're right. You're right. Like the little ad-lib man on a hip-hop song. Like, it's ridiculous.
I like that role. I want to be that role.
I know. It is a good role. Like, yeah. I would enjoy that. But Shady doesn't need to be sitting. Yeah, Shady doesn't need to be sitting there dropping a, oh yeah, you're right, you're right. No, he's not right. In fact, he just allowed for the possibility of, could it be off the bone?
What? Yeah.
And it was.
Like, and he goes, like, and that was obviously his out. Is it off the bone?
But still, he clearly knows that's a possibility.
Of course it's a possibility, yeah.
And yet he's still going like, nope, just quitter. Yeah. That's got to be what it is. Just a quitter. Now, yesterday, he first tried to shift things a little bit yesterday and say, well, you know, maybe quitting was too strong a word. And then the news comes out about it being off the bone. And he wanted to tweet late last night, nah, this can't wait until tomorrow. That's my fault. See the reports of how bad it might be. That's tough. Godspeed, Dak. Too late.
I gotta give him credit on that one, though.
Nope. Too late.
Yeah. No. You gotta be fair. He spoke out of turn.
And he then knew he could be speaking out of turn, though. He knew that was a distinct possibility because he mentioned the very nature of the injury that it ended up being.
I think he was just saying, like, that would be the only way that you could get this kind of reaction.
And he couldn't put two and two together? He couldn't do that? I think he could, and he didn't care. He's sitting there on that same channel that,
but,
you know,
listen,
puffs people up and builds people up for doing
I got to give him credit for walking it back, though. You got to be fair on both sides. You got to be fair. You got to give him credit. I mean, you got to kill him for saying it. But then the moment he realized he was wrong, he didn't wait. He went right to it and got in front of it. I got to give him credit for that. You got to be fair, Robert.
I think you do got to be fair. And fair is to say this dude is trash.
Oh,
he's earned that.
I'm not saying that he's not. Right? And you can't go after somebody's toughness.
The biggest problem is it's as a former player. You know better.
You know better.
And
you know better.
And you know the way McCarthy teams deal with injuries and run them because you've been in that building.
Absolutely. But you would have rather him not tweet that and just go on air the next day?
No.
I think he did the right thing there.
No, I think he just showed.
We can objectively say he did the right thing by walking it back.
He did the bare minimum. What he did, though, was so egregious as a former athlete, especially.
I agree with that.
To me, it's like you should not be sitting in that chair anymore.
Well,
he shouldn't be. Not like fired, but just like, I mean, FS1's got to look at it and just say, like, that's not somebody that, like, whenever contract negotiations come up and or whatever else, it's like, all right, well, this dude's just reckless. But they're not going to do it. They love it. They're the same ones that hire Craig Carton, you know, even while he's got an ankle monitor on. And so they love their straight out of prison hires. And
I mean, is this your first time on the internet? Like, do you think they're going to get rid of a guy?
No,
who makes
I
news?
Don't. I'm just saying that's what should actually happen. They're not going to. They're not going to.
Yeah, they would not. They
but
would
you. You thought there was another talking point from this program that wasn't related to James Jones.
This is not related to James Jones. This is the guy who sits right directly next to James Jones. And this is Southlake's own Chase Daniel on the state of your Dallas Cowboys.
You're the laughing stock. Like, GMs are going around the league saying, I just fleeced Jerry Jones. Like, he gave up a fourth-round pick for what? And honestly, like, this situation, like, I know Cooper Rush is the backup there. He went 5-1 when Dak was hurt a couple years ago or last year, whenever it was.
Last year.
You got to start Trey Lance. You got to start Trey Lance. You got to give up on this season. You got to find out what you have in Trey Lance. Maybe he's a long-term backup. He's an unrestricted free agent this year. You got to play him. And it's just, it's crazy to think that this is how the Dallas Cowboys, how far they have fallen from a 12-win, a 12-win, a 12-win season. And I just don't see how there's any chance that Mike McCarthy's back next year. Like, it's just
and that's why I feel bad for
it's rough.
Well, I think obviously he's right there in the last part. Like, I don't know how they, unless they turn this thing around and go, well, they 3-5, go 9-0 down the stretch. Or something like that. Again, like 7-2. They find a way to get to 10 wins.
I'm going to hit you with something real quick. Let's assume Dak's going to need surgery. Because that's one of the questions they're dealing with right now. And if he needs surgery, he's done for the year. So for the sake of argument, let's say he needs surgery. I'm just going to go down the list of remaining games and just say, you tell me if you think it's a win or loss as we stand right now. Philly.
And we're talking the current state with Cooper Rush then.
Yes, assuming Cooper Rush is starting the rest of the year.
Loss.
Houston.
Loss.
At Washington.
I would assume loss.
Short week traveling back Thanksgiving against New York.
Win.
Cincinnati on the road. Or at home.
By the way, if Cincinnati's going to want to win this game tonight, aren't they?
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. Loss. I would assume.
At Carolina.
I'll get win. Somebody else to ask these questions.
You think Jonathan Mingo revenge game?
Yeah,
that's what you're thinking.
Big revenge game there.
Home against Tampa.
That's a game they probably would wind up winning.
Okay. At Philadelphia.
Loss.
And then at home against the Commanders.
That's another game they would probably wind up winning just because Washington may have things wrapped up.
Even if you give them that. 7-10.
Mm-hmm.
7-10 football team. I don't know that Chase Daniel's right that they're the laughing stock of the league. I think there's plenty of organizations.
There's other ones. Yes, absolutely. I agree.
Was the trade deadline a universally bad day for Dallas in terms of reception? Yes. To be fair, though, 2018, the trade deadline was a universally bad day for Dallas, too, in terms of public reception. People
with
said
Amari, yeah.
Yeah, they said Demaryius Thomas and Golden Tate, they both went for day two picks. Day three picks. How are you giving up a first for Amari?
Right.
And they ended up being right.
They did.
He's not going to be Amari Cooper. I can guarantee you that.
Is
Jonathan Mingo is not going to be that guy. Never.
Are you sure?
But we may look at it and say, that's better than a fourth-round receiver. So they have room to potentially be right about that. But to say laughing stock of the NFL, I don't know about that. Well, I think there's honestly some pity on the Cowboys right now across the NFL.
Ooh,
which is almost worse.
That is almost worse. This is not as bad as the three straight 5-11s. But this is somewhere between 5-11 and the three straight 8-8s. That's where they are. That's where they are right now. The three straight 8-8s, I can at least make the case that during that time we could see the transition between the Parcells players and then the Jason players, right?
You felt like those 8-8 teams a lot of times, at least the way I remember it, maybe I'd go back and I'd see it differently, but the way I remember it was I felt like they played up to good competition and down to bad competition.
Yes.
And so they were just inconsistent, but you saw seeds of something that could come together.
Yeah, but like in that time, you had drafted Dez, you had drafted Sean Lee, you had drafted Tyron, you had drafted Frederick at the end. And like, you know, you were transitioning from the Kosher, Colombo, Flozell, Gerard O-line, and you had to remake it, and the line was not very good, and they became the Great Wall again. You know, Ware was getting towards the end and Ratliff. So, like, there was, like, it was a transition era. This just feels like they're stuck. This feels like they don't know that they need to transition.
It, like, I've made the comparison the last few days. It feels like those teams 5 years post-title for the Mavericks, where they were trying to hold on to something and couldn't accept, all right, window's over. It was a good run. Yeah. But you don't need to go get Darren Williams and you don't need to go get Wes Matthews and try and, you know, break down the door where the chair has DeAndre Jordan locked in. Like there's aspects of it where just embrace naturally becoming whatever it is you become.
Yeah.
And they're having a hard time with it. And the thing is, I think this year can just be a standalone year. There's a potential for a bounce back next year because they've had a lot of injuries. And if you stack up draft capital, one draft hitting can replenish a lot of the depth that you missed.
Is that what they did when they traded a fourth rounder pick away again? Stacking it up?
No, kind of the opposite.
Your best guess is Dak going to have surgery and finish? Does he play again this year?
I'm going to say, man.
And are they going to, and let me ask you this, if they.
I'm going to say he. I'm going to say he doesn't have surgery. Is okay. my guess. And that's there's no way. I have no. Don't mistake this, anybody. Haven't talked to anybody behind the scenes about the possibility of it other than what's just out there and reported. I'm just saying my guess, given how much they all seem to want to hang on, I don't know that they would. They haven't even put him on IR yet, because when they put him on IR, he can't stand out there at practice. He can't sit in the meeting rooms with Cooper Rush. And so when now that right now, while he's hurt and can't play but not on IR, he can sit in the meeting rooms and help Cooper Rush during the study week, and he can be out at practice. So they say goodbye to a lot of stuff.
Why does that matter? Why are they not allowed to be in the meeting rooms?
Nate Newton, we were doing Cowboys Crosstalk last night. Nate Newton and Drew Pearson were both going off on that rule. Like there's so there's stupid. No sense in doing
None.
That.
No sense in doing that at all. Also, let me ask you this. If they wait to IR him, can they go back and retroactively do it to the day where he got hurt?
That I don't know. I'm not clear on that.
So, like, he because I mean, you so like miss if he misses
this,
games.
So you're saying if he misses this game, I don't think they let you do that, but I'll have to look it up.
Because that would change a lot of things, because now that would just add time before his return, correct?
Yeah, because you would miss this one game coming up against Philly, and so then you'd have to miss another four. So it'd be Houston, Washington, New York, and Cincy instead of.
So it'd be five games missed.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that makes no sense. Like, you should be able to retroactively do it, I would think. I mean, I think that makes the most sense, the most fair, but what the hell do I know?
No, but I mean, it's still, I find it interesting, though, that Chase Daniel would say laughingstock, because I think that's a little strong.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I think it may be more on the edge of pity at this point, which is, like I said, that's worse.
I think pity's underrated, man.
Yeah, I've heard your take on pity, you mm-hmm. know, tossing a pity
yeah.
sesh. But
absolutely.
Different when you're talking about a billion-dollar organization.
Yeah, a little bit different. Cool with
that. They're not going to toss you a pity Super Bowl trophy.
No, they're not. They are not. All right, it's Sean and RJ here on 105 Through the Fan. 1 hour from now, Babe Loffenberg. But it is time, as it is every Thursday at this time, for the Neighborhood Watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Oh, kids are out of school in Richardson today, and it is not for a good reason. Nothing to do with the election either, like when LISD schools had the kids out on Tuesday. More on that in just a second. First, we've been telling you guys every week we're going to update you on where our TV partner, NBC5, where Pat mm-hmm. Doney's going to be for Big Game Friday night.
Patrick Doney.
So Pat Doney is going to be at the Battle of Carrollton, Newman Smith versus Carrollton Creekview. This is Creekview. I think that's the team that Nick Eatman's talked to us about before, about going and watching them play, because I think that's where he said his daughter going was that. She went to Creekview, and so he had.
Is this rivalry week this week?
No, because I mean they've had a couple different ones. A couple weeks ago was Battle of the Mound, which was
Battle of the Mound. Yeah, yeah,
or the Mound Showdown, which is Flower Mound and Marcus.
And Marcus,
well, we had the I-30 Classic in Rockwall last week,
and so they've been kind of trickling them out. But
Grapevine versus Colleyville this weekend. Friday.
There we go. That's a big one. Pat Doherty texted me last night. He said the game's been moved up to 5 p.m. because of weather. So if you're planning on showing up there at 7, you're going to be late. So 5 p.m. Creekview entered this season on a 21-game losing streak. They are 8-1 this season. So they have turned this franchise around. Baby. I guess they have got some good draft
they
picks.
Franchises? Do they pay in college and high school athletics?
They were willing to put guys on IR and
yeah,
and make
they did. They tanked.
They were willing to trade away players.
They got all the big NIL money.
They
back
trusted
and,
the process
yeah,
there at absolutely. Carrollton Creekview, and they let Nick Eatman guide them.
Are we supposed to get bad weather?
I think it is supposed to storm tonight.
Oh, okay.
Like I think it's. I don't think it's supposed to be bad weather tonight. It's supposed to be. Raining, and then tomorrow I think there's a better chance for some severe stuff.
Oh,
but
God.
Yeah, I mean we're entering rainy season now. But if you want to go see Pat Doney, he'll be broadcasting out there for NBC5 at the Battle of Carrollton, Newman Smith versus Creekview. So go on out, say hi to him, and tell him how much you love 105 Through the Fan, and how that's what you're concerned with. All right, I mentioned. Kids in Richardson are not in school today. A number of them aren't anyway. Five schools are closed today. The city of Richardson has issued a boil water notice
for
southwest region of the city. Five schools are closed on Thursday. According to the city, there's been a loss in water pressure. Boy, I hate that whenever I've got to loss in water pressure in the shower. Shower head's just trickling or whatever else. There's nothing worse than bad water pressure. Over at WFAA, they say the city of Richardson has issued the boil water notice for residents after an equipment malfunction on Wednesday. According to a news release from the city, the equipment malfunction caused a portion of the city's 767 water zone to experience a drop in water pressure. This went undetected due to a malfunction of telemetry equipment. I don't know.
Could be telemetry.
Sure. That failed to notify operators, and the water pressure ultimately fell to zero. RJ Choppy, 0.0.
Does that mean when they say boil water nose, that means like if you can't get water out of your faucet, why would you need to boil the water?
So it says because of this drop, it said the water pressure was at zero for about 5 minutes before the issue was identified and the pumps were restarted. But because of this drop in water pressure, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality has required the city to notify all customers to boil their water before consuming it. This means everyone in the affected area should bring water to a boil and let it go for 2 minutes before letting it cool off. According to TCEQ, which is the organization we just talked about there, children, seniors, and people with weakened immune systems are particularly vulnerable to harmful bacteria. And so this affected area is around the Heights Rec Center, 711 West Arapaho Road. So this is 75 between Arapaho and Spring Valley, basically.
So how much water do you have to boil? And for how, and like, I know it said 2 minutes, but like, how long do you have to do this process before the water's clean? Like, I don't mean like how, like 2 minutes on the boil. Like, do I have to do this for like 2 days?
It says the notice will be effective until we are able to sample a number of locations in the service area. We'll bring those samples to the lab, and once the lab is able to confirm that all those samples pass the testing, then we'll be able to revoke the boil water notice. So maybe they figure things out. The city manager said that this likely wouldn't happen until early Friday morning, though. So they said this is affecting about 17,000 customers. This is west of 75, the west side of 75 between Arapaho and Spring Valley. So if you're in that area, because of that, five schools are closed today. Arapaho Classical Magnet is closed. Dover Elementary School, Heights Elementary School, Richardson West Junior High, and Richardson High School are all closed. Customers in the area who are wanting to access clean water can visit the City of Richardson's Water Distribution Center, which is at 711 West Arapaho Road, from Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. to 10 p.m., which was yesterday. Today, from 7 a.m. to 10, and Friday, 7 a.m. to 10. They're offering bottled water and other things, but this is never good.
When
you get the boil water notice, that's never a positive
thing. No, it's not. Did you ever... have you ever gotten sick off water? Have you ever been to Mexico? Did you get sick off the water there?
Mm-mm.
Peyton?
I have not. Nope.
I never got sick of it. Like they say don't drink the water, Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
And I never really drank it, but like when I brush my teeth, I don't use bottled water. I still use the regular water there, and I'm not gotten sick off it. I know people who have. That's all. It's an awful. It sounds just miserable.
So when you go to the resort there in Cabo, wherever, you're just bottled water, right? Whatever they have at the resort.
That's what you drink there, yeah. Right. But like, I brush my teeth with the regular running water.
Okay.
And like, I'll, you know, like when you're done brushing, I get down, let the water run into my mouth, like swish it around. I don't use bottled water, but I don't swallow it either. So maybe that's part of it. Who knows?
With the regular season, we just kind of referenced it with Pat Doney. With the regular season wrapping up a day early for a few North Texas high school football teams, or it will be wrapping up a day early as the inclement weather is anticipated Friday evening. So Highland Park versus Midlothian has been rescheduled. It's been moved up to Thursday. Forney versus Rockwall Heath on Friday night. A couple different games have been rescheduled either to Thursday or had time changes moved up. Caddo Mills versus Van Alstine. Birdville versus Denton Ryan has been moved up to Thursday at 7 p.m. Also, Midlothian and Highland Park is Thursday at 7. And then Godley versus Hillsborough. So a couple different areas looking to reschedule games as there has been an outlook of poor weather. All right, so I was trying to bring this up to you during one of the breaks, and you didn't have a recollection of it. I know Peyton's not going to have a recollection of it, but plenty of people in DFW on the fan text are going to remember this story. Do you recall at all, Chop, the Texas 7?
I don't. I was here. I lived here at the time. I don't remember it, though. Then again, like, if it happened when I was in college, there's a good chance I don't remember it.
So this was December 2000, and it was seven convicted inmates who were for various crimes. I think so, you know, some of it was murder. Others were, you know, robbery, just different crimes. Seven inmates escaped from the Connolly unit, a Texas prison located about 60 miles southeast of San Antonio. They ended up in Irving, where on Christmas Eve, they robbed an Oshman sporting goods store. It was Irving police officer Aubrey Hawkins who had responded at the time. He had just finished dinner with his family and came to investigate what was a suspicious circumstance at the store.
Wait, was this at the Irving Mall?
No, it was I don't think that was at the mall, but it was the Oshman's. I think it was closer, I think that one, over towards Los Angeles. I can't remember where it was exactly, but it was in the Irving area, and he was shot 11 times and pulled out of his patrol car and run over, and it was a big deal because it was like, okay, well, now we have essentially seven violent criminals who have no problem Christmas Eve murdering a police officer, and they went on the run for the better part of a month. They were on the run, and nobody had known where they were. They were eventually found in part thanks to an episode of America's Most Wanted where they had told people to look out for them, and somebody had seen the episode and recognized that they were staying in, I think it was Denver. They were in Colorado.
Gosh.
And so it was this big story at the time. A number of the assailants got death sentence. I think a few of them have already been executed. But one of them, big news came out this week. Randy Halperin, who's one of these Texas Seven, he was granted a new trial by the Court of Criminal Appeals. So he was part of this Texas Seven. He's Jewish, and he won a reprieve from the death penalty in 2019 after claiming his trial Judge Vickers Cunningham of Dallas was anti-Semitic and used racial slurs. Well, Wednesday, the court delivered an opinion that granted a new trial based on the violation of due process where there was, quote, such a high degree of antagonism as to make fair judgment impossible. Specifically, we find that Halperin was shown by the preponderance of evidence that his trial judge was actually biased against him at the time of the trial because Halperin is Jewish. So this is something that he claimed, and now the Court of Appeals is looking at and saying, yep, this is accurate. This was anti-Semitism. It was biased. It wasn't fair. I think there's plenty of evidence to show that a new trial is not going to be anything that will be difficult for them to get a conviction on because he was involved in a lot of this. But I remember Halperin, and then there was one other one. I can't remember who the other guy was in the seven group, but one of the other ones was also considered to be, there was a question if they were going to get the death penalty because of what their involvement was. Like, I don't think Halperin was one of the ones, if I recall correctly, who actually fired a shot that they could determine that he was part of that. But he broke out and he was, you know, he assisted in driving away. But there was some question at the time about how clear it was whether he was going to be able to get convicted or not. One more story for you here. There is a search for a missing Wiley woman that's continuing. And this woman has been missing for a couple days. I've seen it all over Facebook. I don't know if you've seen it on social media, Chop. Melanie Ballinger was last seen at her home on Parkwood Drive in Wiley. According to Wiley PD, a man called at about 6:35 a.m. on Monday to report that his wife was missing from their home. Officers learned that Ballinger left the residence at 10 p.m. on Sunday without her phone or vehicle. Her husband was the one that reported her missing, Sergeant Donald English said, and he has been cooperative with our investigators, submitting to interviews and helping out with anything that's needed. Investigators, canine search dogs, and a Texas Department of Public Safety helicopter searched the area but were unable to locate her. A coordinated search began Tuesday at 1 p.m. near Wiley City Hall. They said, we've searched most of the wooded areas and there's a dam nearby. We searched the waterways near her residence and we're just kind of following up on any place that she could be. Police have asked the family and public to avoid any independent searches. They said they could
really.
They said they could contaminate the scene if you have independent searches. So this is something where they're just trying to keep track of this as best they can and keep all the evidence intact.
Interesting. Because don't you like usually want the most people looking for someone that you can possibly find?
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, they're telling people to keep an eye out, but I don't think they want them
walking through the marsh,
running into woods or doing anything like that. Wiley police said they have not solidified when another search could take place. Ballinger's friends and family spent the last couple days distributing more than 1,000 flyers, according to NBC DFW, hoping that someone in or around Wiley has seen the mother of two. The husband said, what I would say to her is just come back to us. And if anyone's out there that sees her and can help her come back to us. We miss her. We love her. We don't care why she's gone. We just want her back. Daniel said he doesn't know, the husband, Daniel Ballinger. Daniel doesn't know why his wife left, only that she left behind her phone, wallet, and critical blood pressure medication. She's scheduled to have a heart procedure in the next few weeks. They've been married for 22 years. It'll be 22 years in March. And he says she's a wonderful mother. She's stay-at-home, kind of private person, keeps to herself for the most part, but we'd do anything for her. According to the sergeant there, the last confirmed identification of Ballinger investigators have is from Saturday afternoon. Credit card history and surveillance video shows that Ballinger was at a Walmart Supercenter in Murphy off West FM 544. The store is located about 3 miles away from Ballinger's home. These ones are always, whenever you just have one of these ones of somebody just leaving
everything behind,
all their possessions behind.
We watch Forensic Files like every night, like 5 o'clock. We'll turn it on. You know, don't work. She gets home and we'll just watch a couple. And it almost always, like, you know, it's, people don't leave things behind like that. They don't leave their phone behind, their medication, everything. That's somebody who was rushed out of the home for something.
Yeah, at 10 p.m. on Sunday, so it's night. It's nighttime on Sunday, and you're leaving the home without a vehicle. You're leaving without medication that you need. I mean, it's... And that's an interesting statement right there, because I don't want to, like, obviously play investigator in a sense, but when... He says, what I would say to her is, the husband says, just come back to us. If anyone out there sees her, can help her, come back to us. We don't care why she's gone. We just want her back. That sounds almost like they think it's possible, I guess, that she could have just kind of left on her own, and it wouldn't necessarily
on
be
on foot?
Yeah. Sounds like it, doesn't it? We don't care why she's gone. I mean, or at least it sounds like it's a possibility for him.
I guess. That's scary.
She is a white female, 5'7", approximately 135 pounds, with brown hair. It is not known what she was last wearing. So they must not have even seen her
that day.
Like had any sort of awareness. Because last time they have a determined view of her is at that Walmart or whatever.
10 p.m. on Sunday night, most people are home. But I guess
in bed a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because you got work the next morning. Absolutely. You're getting up, so.
Kids, you got kids that are in school the next day.
This is a bizarre story. So keep your eye out if you're in Wiley.
Oh, that's scary. And when those things hit small towns and, like, you know, or suburbs, right? The rural towns, suburbs, whatever. I mean, it takes takes over the entire area.
Yeah.
Like the entire little, you know, city or.
Which is interesting why Wiley's saying don't get involved.
I know. Like, you would think that you would want people, as many people looking for her as possible, unless they think you're going to scare her off or scare somebody off who may have done something.
214 is right, says you're right, by the way. Chop said it happened. The Texas 7 was at the Irving Mall.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember that. That was,
the big story.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. All right. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. You got to go see KNC Masterpiece tomorrow at the Buffalo Wild Wings off Hewlin for the Football Friday feast. You got every single Friday during football season with KNC at Buffalo Wild Wings. Babe Loveberg coming up at 8:40. But next, how about we talk to Derek Holland?
Dutchie.
He's got a charity event he wants to talk about. He wants to talk about the Rangers, maybe potential next skipper in waiting. It's all coming up the 8 o'clock hour on Sean and RJ next on 105.3 The Fan.